I'm Mark Bayshore. Bitcoin is a digital currency that has fascinated and confused people since its creation back in 2009. The idea was for a currency without borders or governmental control. Now, while not yet in the mainstream, Bitcoin has grown in prominence to an estimated global value of $7 billion. Yesterday, after years of mystery about who exactly started Bitcoin, an Australian named Craig Stephen Wright claimed to be the man who, till now, had gone by the name Satoshi Nakamoto. Wright had been one of several names bandied about as the creator, but even after going public, some in the Bitcoin community are expressing doubts about his claim. To learn more about Bitcoin, how it works, and why the identity of its creator should matter, we welcome David Smith back to the program. David's the founder of Startup Grind Lansing and a leading voice supporting Bitcoin here in Michigan. Welcome back to Current State, David.
Thanks, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with just a little primer on Bitcoin for listeners who never really totally understood how it works. How does one acquire a Bitcoin? Let's start there.
So that's a lot of people want to get, they hear Bitcoin and they hear it's digital and they think, how do I get some? And they want to get it for free. But just like anything that has value, people aren't going to get it for free. So you've got to either buy it or earn it. And just like you earn a paycheck for work that you do, you can get paid in Bitcoin, or you can take the money that you earn at your job and you can go and buy Bitcoin at a place like Coinbase.com.
And once you have a Bitcoin, how can they be used?
You can use it like a credit card, like money. A lot of times it's from your phone or from your computer. So if you go to Overstock.com and you want to buy a couch, and the couch costs $1,000, and you have $1,000 in Bitcoin, you just go on Overstock, you check out, and at the checkout experience, instead of putting in your credit card number, you use your computer or your phone and make that transaction with the Bitcoin instead.
Mm. For years, the story of how Bitcoin was started has focused on this mysterious figure going by the name of Satoshi Nakamoto. That name was widely believed to have been a pseudonym, and a lot of people are really don't have a clue who the creator was. Tell us about this Bitcoin history and about this man from Australia, the computer scientist Craig Wright. At this point, David, are you convinced that he's telling the truth about being Satoshi Nakamoto?
I am not. I am highly skeptical. He made this claim initially last year, and there was a lot of fraudulent evidence that he used to support that claim. And so then when he comes out again and says that he's the creator again, you know, immediately alarm bells are going off. The one interesting piece was he managed to dupe a very prominent figure in Bitcoin. Well, potentially dupe, or he is actually the creator. And so that was the one piece when I saw the news yesterday that I thought, well, maybe, but it looks like he just pulled an elaborate hoax.
Yeah.
And it was good on the news outlets this time because they recognized that this was fishy, and they said it's potentially uncovered.
Doesn't it tamp down the value of a Bitcoin when there's so much mystery over who its creator was?
Yeah, I think that does give a lot of people concern. You know, with money, you want to trust your money. You want to have faith in it. And when you don't know who created it or why they created it, or if you're wondering about is there a conspiracy or hidden agendas, that can hurt the value of the currency for some people.
Yeah. Aside from the curiosity factor, David, why would it matter who created Bitcoin?
I think from a practical standpoint, it doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, Bitcoin is based on math. And so if you have faith in the way that math works, then you can trust Bitcoin. But from a people perspective, people do like to know, you know, who created Ford, and they like to know that history. And it's the same thing with presidents or with this currency. People want to know who created this and why they created this.
Have you ever speculated as to why secrecy and mystery seems to be so important to whoever created Bitcoin?
A little bit. There's actually a history of digital currencies going back to somewhere around 1993, 1995, and there's an unfortunate history where when these currencies are successful, because there's a market demand for non-government issued currencies, that the government comes in and arrests these people. They could also run into criminal elements where the people are trying to steal. You know, Bitcoin's worth $7 billion, and the creator of it probably has about around $1 billion in value today. So if he was uncovered, people might try to get that money from him.
Mm. David Smith is our guest. He's a leading Lansing proponent of Bitcoin and the founder of the organization Startup Grind Lansing. The value of one Bitcoin has fluctuated wildly over the years, but it seems to be it seems to have stabilized somewhat. It went over $1,000 at one point here in 2013, and then it plunged a couple of months after that. The current value of one Bitcoin, I guess, is put at around $440. Do you have faith in that number? Do you think those numbers, when you read about the value of a Bitcoin, do you have confidence that that accurately reflects its value?
That's a great question. I feel like it's undervalued today for me, so I keep adding to my position. It has the potential to have a much greater value, and it has a potential to have a much lower value. At the end of the day, it goes to, do people trust it or not?
Right. It's faith. Yeah. Faith in the currency.
And so, yeah. If in the future, if people around the globe, you know, if 7 or 8 billion people trust Bitcoin, it's going to have a much, much higher value. And if people don't, then it's going to have a much, much lower value.
Currency is one of the most complicated things to try to understand. So at the risk of getting in the weeds here, David, can you help our listeners understand what gives a Bitcoin its value? Why in the end is it worth anything?
All currencies actually have the same basis. It's that trust and that faith that we've been talking about. At the end, people want to buy goods and services with their currencies. So if you take dollars today, or euros, or Venezuelan bolivars, or Bitcoin, then you're expecting in the future you'll be able to take that money and buy goods and services with it. You know, houses, or food, or cars, things like that.
Did the value of Bitcoin rise or fall following the Craig Wright story? Did you follow this closely enough to know?
I didn't pay too much attention. I think it did drop a little bit yesterday, and I think it's probably about back where it was before the news hit.
Hmm. Describe your own use of Bitcoins, David. Do you buy and sell them speculatively, like the stock market, or do you actually purchase goods and services with them, or what?
I mostly just buy them to hold them. I have probably made 30 or so purchases over the past 3 years with Bitcoin. It's actually, especially in person, it's easier to use credit cards today, unfortunately. It's easier for me to spend Bitcoins than a credit card. But if I'm at a restaurant and they accept Bitcoin, then the wait staff, since almost nobody comes in to use the Bitcoin, they don't know how to use the tablet, and they don't know what's going on. It's confusing for them. So it's just actually easier for me to support that restaurant, but to pay with my credit card.
How can you use a Bitcoin in the greater Lansing area, or in Michigan for that matter?
In Michigan, there are some restaurants that accept it. I'm blanking on the name of one. I think it's in Ferndale that I was at a couple months ago. They accept Bitcoin. And since 2013, there's a, this is horrible because I'm blanking on the name of this one too, but there's another restaurant in 2013 that accepts Bitcoin, and actually about 20 of us got together there around Christmas time in 2013 to have a meetup and talk Bitcoin, and we thought we were going to be the only ones paying with Bitcoin there, but to our surprise, there was another group of like 5 people or so, and they were there, and they were spending Bitcoin as well, and they'd come to support that restaurant just because they accepted Bitcoin.
So you, but it's primarily an investment as far as you are concerned, for you personally.
Yep, for me personally today, it's an investment.
Okay, you're a buy and hold kind of guy, or do you redeem your Bitcoins periodically?
Nope, I'm a buy and hold kind of guy. Every time I try to predict the price of it, it just ends up poorly for me.
Is there a physical Bitcoin, or is this is strictly an online digital kind of thing?
There are physical Bitcoins, but it's almost like going backwards. They're more for keepsakes than they are for practical value. You know, it's like you can print off an email, but it's not as useful as just sending somebody the email.
Startup Grind Lansing founder David Smith is our guest. He's one of Lansing's more fervent supporters of the digital currency known as Bitcoin. It was just yesterday that an Australian named Craig Stephen Wright claimed to be the man who had founded Bitcoin, who has gone by the name Satoshi Nakamoto. What's the buzz in the Bitcoin community here about what happened yesterday? Have you talked to many other people about this?
I talked to them virtually. Yeah, so you know, it was of supreme interest when I saw this news. I think I got an alert at 4:30 a.m. from one of the stock services seeking alpha, and I thought, "Oh no, here we go again." And then, you know, looking into it immediately online, there were questions about the validity of his claims. There are some easy ways to prove mathematically who the creator is, and he didn't choose to use any of those ways. And so immediately, you know, there's big questions as to why not. use a good way that everybody can say, yep, this is definitively
verifiable, the creator. Something verifiable.
Yep. But but then he did convince, you know, the chief scientist of the Bitcoin Foundation, Gavin Andreessen, and at first people thought maybe this guy was hacked, but then he was at a conference speaking yesterday and he said, no, I believe this guy is Satoshi. So that was a real head scratcher.
How secure are Bitcoin transactions?
Bitcoin transactions themselves are very secure. People's own security of their computers. A lot of people get malware and viruses and things like that. And so there have been and continue to be improvements in ways of securing Bitcoins. There are a lot less problems now with people losing their Bitcoins. A few years ago, probably about once a month, you know, I would see a story that somebody lost 10,000 or 60,000 Bitcoins. You know, they're at the gym and they get an alert on their phone, you know, hey, you just sent $60,000 off. And they're like, no, I didn't. And that was just them being robbed.
Stories like that are not designed to inspire a whole lot of confidence. I mean, people are hearing that account and thinking, yeah, I think I'm going to stay away from Bitcoin.
Yeah.
How do you overcome that?
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs back in the 60s and the 70s, they were messing around with computers. And my dad wasn't. And there was no good reason for him to. For him to try to use a computer, it would have just taken too much time to dig in there. But those people commercialized it, and now can you imagine life without a computer?
Do you think Bitcoin needs kind of a transitional figure like a Jobs or a Wozniak to maybe add some degree of legitimacy and stability to the whole thing?
I think what it needs is practical use cases. You know, everybody asks me, what can I use Bitcoin for today? And today, there's no great reason for you or I to use it. You know, it's convenient for me if I'm doing, you know, overseas transactions, or I've even paid employees in Bitcoin before, but for a practical matter, you know, checks work just really well for us today. But in the future, I think there are going to be a lot of applications where Bitcoin works better and people will see those benefits. And that's what's going to drive them, where they're going to say, oh, you know, I can't do this with my credit card or with my checks. Mm-hmm. I'll use Bitcoin. Mm-hmm.
Is it your understanding that most people who own Bitcoins own them for the reason you own them? And that is speculation, as opposed to actually using them as a viable currency?
Definitely. Out of the 7 billion value of all the Bitcoins, I would guess probably 90% of that is people speculating that in the future they're going to be worth a lot more. The transaction volume does tick up. I think it doubles about every year. So people are using Bitcoins more and more for transactions.
That would seem to have an upward pressure on the value of the Bitcoins if more people are getting on board. Am I interpreting that right?
Absolutely. On any metric that you look at, Bitcoin, other than the price, is just up and up. You know, there's more businesses that accept it every year. Yeah. There's more liquidity. There are more people using it. There are more transactions. Everything is looking good for Bitcoin.
Mm. I want to spend a minute or two about Startup Grind Lansing. When we had you last on the show, January 2015, to talk about Startup Grind, you were just getting started. Update us on Startup Grind Lansing and how it's going. And remind our listeners what it's about.
So at Startup Grind Lansing, we educate, inspire, and connect entrepreneurs. We do that by having a monthly meeting on the third Thursday at the Technology Innovation Center from 6 to 9 p.m. And we're about connecting. So we have really great networking where people can go and talk with fellow entrepreneurs about the struggles that they are having building their businesses, get tips, and really help each other through that. And you know, it's like the buddy system. If you're trying to lose weight, you got the buddy system for building your business. And then we also have an experienced speaker who comes in and they've built a big business. Like last year, we had Mary Ellen Sheets on the show here.
Oh, yeah.
For Female Founders Month in May. And, you know, she's just built a massive $300 million business.
Two men in a truck. Yep.
Yes. And so she comes in and she shares how it was hard, and she shares the good parts of it and helps inspire and educate that audience.
Well, you don't sugarcoat it by any means when you use grind in the name of the organization. It is a grind. It's a heavy load to start a business, to be sure. We want to thank our guest, David Smith, founder of Startup Grind Lansing and a leading voice supporting Bitcoin. We've been talking about Bitcoin and its future. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Mark.